The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Simon Hoggart at the Labour Party conference in Liverpool, where Ed Miliband has called for an end to the something-for-nothing culture and reminded the country who he is.
You know, I'm not Tony Blair. I'm not Gordon Brown either. Great men who in their different ways achieved great things for our country. But I'm my own man and I'm going to do things my own way.
But, of course, all politicians say, I'm my own man. What a politician is ever going to stand up and say, I can be tugged by the strings of any puppet master you care to throw at me? Nobody does. But, of course, you always get a very big cheer. And it also got over the line about great men, meaning Tony Blair and Gordon Brown, because quite a few people in the hall don't think either of those were very great. And I noticed that when he said, I'm not Tony Blair, there was quite a sustained cheer. He called for a new responsibility in boardrooms and an end to the fast buck culture.
We must learn the lesson that growth is built on sand if it comes from our predators and not our producers. For years as a country, we have been neutral in that battle. They've been taxed the same, regulated the same, treated the same, celebrated the same. They won't be by me. We need the most competitive tax and regulatory environment for British business we can have. But when I am Prime Minister, how we tax, what government buys, how we regulate, what we celebrate will be in the service of Britain's producers.
He's coined this new phrase, the something-for-something society. What he means is it's an end to something-for-nothing. Something-for-something, it's something wrong with that, isn't there? It's a bit feeble, a bit wet. It sounds a little bit too like something or nothing. Not a very good slogan. And as for the new bargain that he's bringing in, it's a bit like the big society. It sounds all right, but nobody's quite clear what it means. He did get an enormous round of applause and a mini standing ovation in the middle of the speech when he launched this massive attack on the government.
So what are we seeing? The old values that have failed our economy now being imported to our most prized institution, the National Health Service. Let me tell David Cameron this. It's the oldest truth in politics. He knows it, and the British public now know it too. You can't trust the Tories on the National Health Service.
Then he tried to define what the new bargain was.
I aspire to be your Prime Minister, not for more of the same, but to write a new chapter in our country's history. The promise of Britain lies in its people. The tragedy of Britain is that it is not being met. My mission, our mission, to fulfill the promise of each, so we fulfill the promise of Britain. Thank you very much.
Oh, brilliant speech, yeah, really brilliant. One of the best ones I've ever heard. Many Labour leading, I've heard a few of them, I tell you.
That was a very good speech. Very emotive. I think he's hit the right note with this audience, that's for sure. I just hope the British people will listen to it and realise that this is a party that's there to for them and not just for big business.
It was terrific, a really strong speech full of leadership. Very proud of him.
Oh, do you know, it was amazing. It was just amazing what I've seen here today from last conference and conference before. And I believe that Ed Miliband's going to do a good job.
He spoke for just under an hour and received the obligatory standing ovation and a very loud burst of rock music from Florence and the Machine, You've Got the Love. You know, you sometimes wonder with these things, supposing the speech had been a total failure, would they have had Roy Orbison's Crying instead? All lined up? I don't think so. Of course, they liked it, and as you'd expect, there was strong approval from the Shadow Cabinet. First from Hilary Benn.
Well, you saw the character of Ed as a leader, and anyone listening to that, and he spoke to the nation, will say, I know what this man stands for, what he believes in, what he's about, and what he would be like as a Prime Minister. And I thought it was a very, very powerful and compelling speech. Well, you can see how well it was received in the hall, particularly when he talked about the National Health Service. Because, you know, life politics is about the choices that you make. And we created the NHS and we will defend it to our last breath. And what the government is doing is threatening it. And, you know, in the end, it's something that we all rely on.
Shadow Business Secretary John Denham said he didn't fear a backlash from boardrooms around the country.
I think actually the really good business leaders we have in this country understand that entirely. They know that the best businesses invest long term. They know that they look after their staff, they train them, they build sustainability into the way their business operates. It is a challenge to those people who don't want to work like that, who only want to look at the very short-term profit and don't look at long-term wealth creation. But it's the challenge we need, because this country will only pay its way in the world if we have more of the first type of the business and not so much of the second. I thought it was a speech that spoke to every single person in this country who has ever said, I work hard, I play by the rules, I do the right thing, I bring my children up, but I don't seem to get the fair rewards and other people seem to walk away with stuff. It was speaking to those core British values. And people are saying all over the country, you know, I know what my values are, but this country is going in the wrong direction.
All the present shadow cabinet have a very, very keen vested interest. Sorry, we're not allowed to support vested interests now. But they do have an interest in being very loyal to Mr. Miliband, because he's just abolished the right of election to the shadow cabinet. It's going to be his choice and his choice alone. And so they want to show that they are not going to rock the ship if they remain in the shadow cabinet. Back in the press room, journalists were forming huddles as they tried to boil the speech down for their columns tomorrow. I caught a word with some of our own. Polly Toynbee, what did you make of it?
I thought it was pretty good. He's no performer, he's no actor. It was very rather flatly delivered. Though the jokes went very elegantly. I thought the jokes were light touch, not too clunky, and done very well. But in terms of the content, I think it was quite deep. I think it was a real mark of change of direction for the Labour Party. I mean, there were large, very long sections of that speech, particularly about the city, about business, about values, that neither Blair or Brown would in a million years have delivered or have gone anywhere near it. They never criticised the rich at all, at times when they really should have done. Even if they didn't have a policy, they should have issued some kind of disapproval. Well, here it was in spades.
List of things he came up with that the Tories he thought had got right and Labour had been wrong to oppose at the time. The conference listened to that in some silence, but they didn't argue. There were no boos.
Well, it was quite safely back in the 80s, and I think Labour has long made settlement with the things that Thatcher did. Maybe a few of the trade unions are not, but mostly people have. I think right to buy, we had at the Guardian debate, we had a vote on right to buy, and actually most people thought it was time for new housing to remove it. So I think they were being polite to him there. But mostly people think, yes, it's time to move on.
Did you think it did the business? It's got the impression that he's convinced the Labour Party now, at least the ones who come to conference, that he is a leader, looks like a leader, sounds like a leader. Will it work in the country?
Difficult to say. I don't think these speeches are ever really make. They can sometimes be break of leaders if they're catastrophic. It certainly wasn't any kind of disaster. But it's a message, it's a direction. I'm sure that a lot of the right-wing press tomorrow, because I've heard them huddling outside, will be saying this is red ed. So people will get a sense that he stands for something and that he means something. And maybe they'll prick up their ears and want to know a little bit more about what he thinks.
Thanks, Polly. Incidentally, Ivan Lewis, the Shadow Culture Secretary, floated the idea today of a sort of licensing system for journalists, and it didn't go down very well in the press room. But working away in the corner is our very much unlicensed cartoonist, Steve Bell. Steve, you were sitting right under Ed Miliband. The Union Jack was fluttering behind him. What did you think?
Well, he was very, very agitated, very, very, what's the word, assertive, I thought. Actually, somebody said he might burst through that weird Union Jack. There's some programme, I think, called The Wall, isn't there, where people burst through this weird-shaped wall. So he could be doing that. But he was but his body language is always very constrained, so chopping the air. But I had a particular... I had a very good view of him. God, I was sort of looking up his nose. I had a very prominent view of his nose. And I've just been... I'm still working on it. Honestly, I haven't come to any conclusions yet. Have you? Have you?
Well, the slogans are a bit odd. The bargain. I mean, it's a bit like the big society. Nobody's quite sure what it means.
I thought that was quite good. I mean, the closed circle of the establishment bursting into the closed circle. He was the outsider, the man apart, the wandering Labour leader. I don't know. It's bursting through.
I'll leave you to get on with drawing your amazing cartoon for tomorrow's paper. Cartoonist Steve Bell there with his paintbrush in hand, and you can see the results in tomorrow's Guardian. Well, Ed Miliband really had a tough job. He had to prove himself to the conference, which is still a little bit dubious. After all, most people voted for someone else, in particular his brother, and there was a slightly embarrassed little joke about that. He said that his two sons were another pair of Miliband brothers, but he and his wife very much hoped they'd both become doctors. So there was real doubt, the real feeling that he had to prove himself, and I think to the conference he did. He sent them away feeling pretty good, even though he took time out to praise Margaret Thatcher once or twice, without, of course, naming her, because there'd be this fear that if he did, she would manifest herself in the hall like Beelzebub. Did he prove himself to the country? That's a very different matter, because, of course, the country will just have seen odd snatches of the speech on TV, little sound bites. Does he look like a prime minister in waiting? It's interesting that the moment he'd sat down, Ladbrokes put out a thing saying that the odds on him losing the Labour leadership before the next election had shortened. In other words, it's thought slightly more likely by the punters now than it was before he started. So, at least some people feel it wasn't a great success outside the hall, but I don't think it would be very, very churlish to deny that it was a considerable success inside. That's all from me here in Liverpool. Our producer was Phil Maynard. I'm Simon Hoggart. Thanks for listening.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.